Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When it comes to pensions, performance counts. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Louise, thank you very much indeed for that. Now, this week, as you know, as part of the budget, there was an increase in tax credits for carers among the measures unveiled by the government. Minister for Finance Jack Chambers told the Dáil that carers play a fundamental role in Irish society, adding that the government is committed to supporting individuals and families with caring responsibilities. One carer, Anne Brahany, who lives in Galway and cares for her 21-year-old son, Rory, who was born without kidneys, wrote a piece for thejournal.ie in which she laid bare the realities facing carers across the country. Shortly before coming on air, I spoke with Anne Brahany and I began by asking her about her son, Rory, and their journey as a family.
Well, Rory was born without kidneys back in 2003. The family joke at the time was, to quote Oscar Wilde, to lose one was a tragedy, to lose two was careless. And normally, people born without kidneys don't survive. So it's thanks to the incredible work of the team in Temple Street that Rory survived. And we travelled every Monday, Wednesday and Friday from Galway before the new road for dialysis. So 4 hours up, 4 hours on dialysis and 4 hours home again, until his dad was able to give him a kidney in 2007. So life got a little bit easier then. Rory was able to go to school and, you know, we motored on. It was not without its complications, but it was certainly easier than 3 days a week going to Dublin. Mm-hmm. And then his kidney started to fail again. So in the middle of the pandemic, I was fortunate enough to be a match. So I donated to him in November 2021.
So ups and downs for you, but your life really when Rory was born and completely changed. Is that fair to say?
Oh, yeah, completely. I mean, we used to say it's like an elephant landing on your head. Nothing, you know, nothing can prepare you for this. And you're sort of scrabbling around wondering what in the name of God am I going to do? But you just have to get on with it because you don't have any option otherwise.
Yeah. What's it like day to day, though?
In the early days, any parent with a kid with, you know, extreme medical needs and additional care needs will tell you that you're a bit like a rabbit in the headlights because you're having to process a lot of information, very, very complex information, medical information. And you realise very quickly that you are to become an expert in this field. So it's really difficult to concentrate on that level of information when your emotions are all over the place and your heart is basically broken a lot of the time. Well, for us, because we lived in Galway, we were, you know, we had to move to Dublin and we had also got a 2-year-old at home. So that was really, really tricky, really difficult.
Yeah. And explain that to people when your heart is broken all the time. It's easy to say that fleetingly to me in an interview on the radio and people will listen and they'll hear it. But can we just elaborate on that for a second? Because it's a day-to-day, minute-by-minute thing for you as well, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, we used to say we would make a plan for the next hour and then if that didn't work, we would change the plan. And, you know, within a few weeks, we were able to make a plan for a morning and then it became a plan for a day. And then that moved on to a week. You know, that's the level we were moving at.
Yeah.
But it's really hard. I mean, you know yourself, Cormac, like it is really, when you've had really difficult news, it's very hard to process information.
Yeah.
Because you are all over the place, but you have to process information because, you know, I had to train how to use a peritoneal dialysis machine. Otherwise, my kid wasn't coming home.
Yeah.
So I just equipped myself with color-coded folders and, you know, I wrote everything down because I didn't trust my memory.
And you, in the piece you wrote, which is fantastic today in the journal.
Thank you.
You were describing the wide-ranging skill set that you have now since becoming Rory's carer and obviously his mother. But some of the stuff you were describing there, I can barely read and you can do them.
I know, but I'm not unusual, Cormac. I am not special when it comes to carers. I mean, ask any carer to list their skill set, and I bet you some of them wouldn't even recognise some of the things they do as specific skill set because they are so ground down by the system and so demeaned by the system that they don't even see the value in the incredible work that they do. And that's the tragedy of where we're coming from. We have an army of incredibly skilled people out there who, I'm telling you, if you are in an accident or your back is against the wall, the first person you want to call is a carer, because they will get stuff done for you.
Yeah. Do you get a night's sleep uninterrupted?
I do now. I do now, but okay. I didn't in the early days. No, not because the dialysis machine was 11 hours overnight. And Rory was tube fed and he was a World Olympic champion vomiter. So it was, you know, we used to count, I mean, we were half asleep. We used to count the baby grows on the floor in the morning and say, was it a 3-baby grow night or a 5-baby, or some, you know, or a 10?
Yeah.
That's the way it was. And that's not unusual. Like, I really want to emphasise that my story is not unusual.
Can I ask you about the budget and the carer's allowance, which is means tested, as we know, so much talk about it. Mm-hmm. You say that's immoral and far from cost effective. Why do you say that?
Well, as I explained, our skill set, we are highly skilled healthcare professionals and we're not able to withdraw our labour. We have no statutory rights. We're not, you know, working under the Working Time Act. We've no time off, no sick pay. We work well in excess of the 40-hour weeks. Like, for example, Cormac, are you asked what your partner earns before your pay is calculated?
No.
Well, why should I be asked that? Does your job keep someone alive?
No, simply no.
Mine does. And it has done for 21 years, long past any expected life expectancy for someone born without kidneys. And again, I am not special. There are hundreds of thousands of other carers out there who are doing the same thing.
But why is the means test immoral? Why is it wrong from your point of view?
Well, because I am providing a service to the state. I'm saving the state a large chunk of change because my son has not been cared for in a facility. We've also had two kidney transplants, so that our child is not on dialysis. So anyone who has to give up their job, their full-time job, to care for somebody should just be paid. It's really not that simple. Yeah. I think it is immoral to say, we expect you to do all of this work and we will only pay you if we figured that you were poor enough.
On Tuesday, when the budget was announced, I asked the Minister for Public Expenditure, Pascal Donoghue, why not just get rid of the means test? Exactly the question you raise. And he said, and I quote, there is various different estimates available as to what the costs would be to do that. He said, it goes from 600 million to 2 billion. If you look at carers, and due to the changes we have made in this budget, if you're in receipt of the carer's allowance, and in addition to all of the other payments available, carers will receive €2,906. And he said, if you're a carer looking after your own children, you receive significant benefits.
Look, that's moving the deck chairs around on the Titanic, as far as I'm concerned, Cormac, because you're basically treating us as a charity case. Because I wonder, how much does it cost to means test me? Like, my, after 20 years of caring, I was sent forward for a review of my carer's allowance to see if I was still poor enough to warrant payment. Now, that review took 6 months. It took a mountain of paperwork. I got bank statements posted back to me with entries highlighted that I had to then explain, one of which was a €20 Revolut payment to my friend for a takeaway meal that we shared together. I had to sit down, type out a reply, find the documentation and post it back. And somebody else on a much greater salary than me is being paid to do this work, which I'm sure they don't get much job satisfaction out of.
What would happen if you didn't do that? I mean, like, you're quite busy, obviously, as we heard there.
Well, basically, you know, the Byzantine rules, and they use lovely, you know, euphemisms like income disregard. You know, what does that mean? It means that at the time, if our household brought in more than €900 a week, which is well below the average industrial wage, mm-hmm. we were not poor enough.
You weren't poor
enough. We weren't poor enough to be paid. So My allowance was cut by a third just as my son's health deteriorated and I ended up sleeping on the hospital floor. So my workload trebled and my allowance was reduced by a third. Now, I don't know but about you, Cormac, but I'm not seeing a lot of morality in that exchange.
And you think that carers should be allowed into the workforce if they
of
can at all?
Of course they should.
You have a skill that you could employ. You're a script writer by trade, aren't you?
I'm a script editor by trade, so I can work. I'm lucky that I can work from home. So, but during the referendum campaign, when we saw what the government really thought of carers, I met online with other carers, and the level of their skills and education just blew me away. We are locking away a resource from the labour force that we have paid for. Many of these people were educated by the state at great cost. I mean, we have to ask ourselves, who is this system benefiting? It's certainly not benefiting carers. It's absolutely not benefiting the people we care for because we're so stressed because of it and dehumanised because of it. And it's certainly not helping the taxpayer. So who's winning here?
And do you accept what the government say when they say you can't do everything at once, even with a record surplus like they had, 23 billion or so, but they're doing incrementally, they had the €400 disability and carers lump sum, they increased the threshold of the means test, the domiciliary care increased, the care
but
benefit
it's the
extended.
Principle, yeah. It's the principle underneath it, Cormac. Okay. You know, the principle is throwing us crumbs and expecting us to work miracles. And I know it's like, you know, everybody's got to put their oar in looking for money and looking for increases. But what I'm asking here, the fundamental logic behind means testing carers, I do not understand it. It doesn't stack up economically or morally,
okay,
as far as I'm concerned.
And you're making that clear-cut intellectual argument, bereft of all emotion.
Yes.
And look, you make a very eloquent case, I must say, and you have 21 years experience as the mother of Rory and his carer as well. All we can do is hear both sides, and we've heard the government sides on Budget Day and since as well, in terms of the logic behind what they have done. But Anne Brahany, carer of Rory, give her best to Rory. And thank you, Anne, for joining us on the programme. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Now, I can tell you no government party had a spokesperson available this evening to give their reaction to Anne Brahany's story. However, the Department of Health did issue us a statement in which they said the following. Family carers are key enablers for government policy to support people to live with dignity and independence in homes and communities of their choosing for as long as possible by providing vital care to some of our most vulnerable citizens. They also included a list of measures, including funding, in that same statement. You've been texting 51551, listening to Anne Brahany there and talk about her life and her family's life with Rory. And you've been emailing as well, drivetime@rte. Let me read you one email. My son is 13, has autism and global development delay and an intellectual disability. I had to give up work 10 years ago, says this listener, and I have a small civil service pension. We have never been entitled to carer's allowance, as my husband works and we'll be caring for our beautiful boy for the rest of our lives. Just feel so forgotten about, unseen and unheard. And that's from one carer. 51551.